I'm calling the meeting to order. LSP WPFW local station board monthly meeting Wednesday, November 9th, 2022. Asking Ellen Carter, the secretary, to call the names of those who are here and not.
Ellen?
Ellen.
So the individuals present are Anita, Yao, Sarah, Wayne, Marsha, Bill, Violetta, Vanessa. Oh, Vanessa's not here yet. She's still not here yet. Vanessa?
I am here. I couldn't get on the link, so I have to call in.
Okay.
Okay. Sue Goodwin, is she here yet? Sue Goodwin? Okay. Donna Grimes?
Nope.
Kamal is here. Julie is here. Arthur is here. Arthur Highland. Kathleen is here. Is Arthur McLeod here yet?
No.
Arthur McLeod, okay, is not here yet. Max Merrick is here. Eileen is here. Minerva is here. Adele is excused absence. Frank Stearns is an excused absence. Tim Willard is here, and Dennis is here.
And Marcia Coleman is actually not here yet.
Okay, she's not here yet?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, first order of business, any objections to approval of the agenda for this evening? Hearing none, agenda is approved. Next thing is we actually, since there were some questions raised about the September 28th meeting, just a quick backtrack. I double checked the record and there were only a couple of items of business that are actually transacted, one of which was approval of the August minutes, which have already been posted. But for the record, again, are there any objections now to approving what were the minutes for the August meeting? Okay, hearing no objections, the August meeting minutes are officially approved. And now the minutes for the last meeting, which was when? October. Any,
Chair.
Any concerns, suggestions? Yes. Vanessa.
Just very one small thing. I appreciate that the proposed edit that I made was included. The only thing I suggest doing is taking out the sentence that says, or the words that say Vanessa commented. It doesn't matter who said it. It's just, I'm not sure what my name is now, but that is the only change I propose. Just taking that out.
Anyone
Thank
have any words. Objections? To that correction? Ellen? You're muted, Ellen. I see your hand. There you go.
No, I don't have any objection to that. I do want to, two other corrections. First, Max Merrick's name should have had two X's. So I did change that. And then for October also, Minerva's comment, the LSB, the B was small. So I made that, I corrected that. And I will correct Vanessa. I will take off the comment.
Okay. Any other objections to the minutes as you just heard corrected or amended?
Chair, I'm so sorry. If I could ask Ellen to just put, she said she will take off the comment. I just want to make sure I heard it properly.
I will take off Vanessa, where it says Vanessa comment.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, are we good? Okay, minutes for the October meeting are approved. Secondly, the last backtrack, the other piece of official business that we did conduct in September was the approval of Kamau Harris as the interim treasurer. He has been acting in that capacity at my request and with the agreement of the board. But I want to reprise that that official vote for the record if there is any question. So once again, are there any objections to Kamau Harris acting as interim treasurer? Yes, Mr. Tatum.
Oh, nothing on that. I wanted to back
okay.
and just ask Ellen to call my name for the record that the parliamentarian is present.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ellen, you
want to? Oh, Arthur McLeod.
All right.
Arthur, okay, Arthur McLeod is here also.
We have a parliamentarian and we have a maniac in the house.
Okay, I'll need to stop. Okay, Arthur McLeod is here.
Yeah.
And
what is this?
And John Tatum is here.
Indeed. Okay. Any objections to Kamau Harris continuing to serve pending the elections, which take place next month, as our interim treasurer? Hearing no objections, that decision is reaffirmed. Thank you all very much. Mr. Paris, you have the floor.
First of all, welcome aboard, Kamau.
Again,
very much appreciate your service, sir.
Thank you.
Starting in, we completed our fall pledge drive, which was not a success, and there has been some debate as to the actual figures, but the last figure that I got today in terms of reaching our goal was 75.1% as calculated by our chief engineer. Reporting is an issue because there are various methods of being used. I have actually seen fulfillment results of 111%, which is plainly inaccurate. We don't know how that was achieved, so we've got to work on reporting. We were fortunate in achieving the amounts that we did achieve because several signal areas are experiencing less than successful pledge drives. It was a lot of work. There's more debate going on as to how we could have done a better drive, but we're fortunate in having the drive that we did have. I did everything that I possibly could have done humanly to pitch as much as I could have done, and open lines of communications to programmers so I can get feedback and more utility out of the programmers beyond on-air programming. So right now, the main thing that the station has experienced recently, and this is actually something that illustrates how Pacifica or how WPFW is a Pacifica holding, we experienced a payroll issue, a problem with payroll, where payroll was not going to be met across the board throughout the foundation. It did not matter whether or not WPFW had adequate funding to meet our local payroll. We have a vendor, Paylocity, that handles payroll for the entire foundation. And if any signal area cannot meet payroll, payroll is stopped. So we managed to cobble together our payroll, and we offered to help the foundation because that has been done historically before, where a signal area might not have been able to meet payroll, another signal area helps. We've had signal areas help us. We have helped signal areas. So I offered to help the foundation because we were in a rare and very temporary position where we could meet our obligations and help the foundation to make payroll so that locally we could make payroll here. We succeeded in making payroll. It was very, very stressful. We are still feeling aftershocks of the effect of perhaps not making payroll. But we got past that one. And we are working on new strategies, off-air strategies to raise funds for the station as we approach yet another pledge drive. We had a power down last Saturday. A short notice from Pepco that the entire block on K Street was going to be powered down. In order for us to stay on the air Saturday, Chief Engineer and I had to configure a system to transmit to directly to the transmitter, bypassing K Street altogether. That operation had me streaming to the transmitter on Saturday for 18 hours. It actually began Friday night in preparations, testing, because we had to build a system up so that we could take over operations remotely. We had failures, engineering failures, where I had to go to the transmitter itself at American University and remotely throw a switch that was supposed to be controlled by software. But I had to go in and throw that switch at 4 o'clock in the morning in order to have the transmitter receive the signal coming from a remote location. So when the power was shut completely down on K Street, there was no discrepancy on air immediately, but we did have some problems bringing remotes in through my system and on to the transmitter. It took, maybe 20 minutes or so for us to get fully configured so that we were going straight to the transmitter. And once it was up and running, where I was able to play files to the transmitter that were sent to me by programmers who had pre-recorded their shows. Later on that morning, I was able to bring Lance Reynolds on into the relay system live, and then have him zoom through it and on air to the station and on to air. Lance did a handoff to Culture Shack that was able to come in when power was restored and do their show pretty much as normal. So all in all, the power down remote broadcast day was a success, but it was, to say the least, a tremendous amount of work. That was the main thing that we experienced recently in terms of operations. This Tuesday, we resumed remote broadcast operations. Roach Brown's broadcast of Crossroads was broadcast from Ben's Chili Bowl. We used to do that on a regular basis.
All right. No.
Pre-COVID. But we resumed that operation as of last Tuesday. So we're back to our remote capabilities. We have a lot of people who are inquiring about reopening the station for guests, performances. We are not prepared to do so yet. We maintain our standard safety protocols. We have to follow the news to see what is going on with the variants and different spikes that occur in DMV. So that's pretty much where we stand right now. The station is kind of stable. We have a few people who are experiencing illnesses. And when we are as short-staffed as we are, if I have one illness at the station, that's a 30% reduction of the workforce. If I have two, 60%. So bear with us as we struggle through these times. People are working their way through their illnesses and hanging in there. I myself had a physical examination yesterday and came out with flying colors. I'm actually okay. Blood pressure is actually okay. And I'm fortunate to have recovered from my incident pretty much. So that's, in a nutshell, the report of the status of this station. Ready for any questions that anybody might have.
Okay, I see you, Kathleen. First, I just want to say, do you know, does anyone know if Thomas Blanton was able to get in yet?
Yeah, I'm on a conference okay. line. Thank you.
Okay, welcome aboard. All right, Kathleen. All right.
Thank you. Dennis, as you know, I have several questions about payments, expenditures, and et cetera. I don't know if these should wait to the Finance Committee or if these should wait until executive session.
Probably Finance Committee.
Okay. So the one question I'll ask Jerry, so the chief engineer that you referred to is Mo Thomas, is that correct? As you were talking about
yes,
work, okay. And how much are we paying Mo Thomas, please, each month?
I don't think we want to get into employee salary information.
This is not an employee. Mo Thomas is a consultant, not an employee. Now, if you want to postpone this to the executive session, Dennis, I'm fine.
Yes.
But just to be
yes.
clear, he's not an employee. All right, we'll postpone it to executive session. And the rest of my questions, I'll postpone to executive session. Thank you.
Thank you. Minerva.
Yes, good evening, everyone. And Jerry,
I'm
let
sorry,
me did,
I'm sorry. Okay.
Was there someone before
come on,
me?
I'm sorry, I didn't
All right.
see you. But
I can wait.
Okay, come on. Sorry, Minerva.
Not a problem. So quick question on the station not being open. Is that... I know the city has different mandates in place. Is what are we basing the not opening of the station on? I mean, there's other businesses that have soft openings. I'm not saying to allow Grand Central Station through the station there, but why are we still tiptoeing? What's the issue there? What are we basing that on?
Just human consideration. There's nothing really scientific about it, other than we're being cautious because the people who have to be there are there every day, and it's a rather confined facility, and we believe we need to control the traffic that is going through there. We have a temperature sensor at the door for anybody that comes in to put their forehead to see if they have a temperature issue. We ask for people to wear masks. I deal with other institutions and they're following pretty much the same protocol where you do temperature sensing and you regulate the traffic in terms of at least asking people to wear masks. So there is no hard policy that we're following. And if the board has any suggestions as to how the station should proceed and stay safe, I'm open to any suggestions.
Okay, thanks, sir. I just want to follow up on that because that's what I was going to suggest. That I appreciate the precaution, but seems to me we ought to have first of all some standard that we're using to determine, whether it's the city standard or federal standard or whatever, some standard that we refer to, some external standard that we refer to, as well as our own sort of protocols for you know, number of people in what area, and if that's something that you would like the board to take the lead on, that's something that we can refer to a committee, if you're willing to take that advice, because I think we need something more at this point, something more specific to go on, because this could go ahead.
No, absolutely. Pleasure. I mean, the safety of the station is paramount, but you know, we don't want to deprive people as a result of it. So,
okay.
Open to all suggestions in terms of, you know, some preset standards that are working. We're doing what we think is correct. We keep the place supplied with cleaning supplies, hand wipes, everything that we think is necessary. We have our masks there, and we refrain from bringing guests into the station. So, but I believe the entire staff will be open to more advice.
Okay. I would like to come up with some procedure whereby at least some of the board is able to come into the station. Okay, we will work on that. Minerva.
Okay. Jerry, let me ask, what are the hours that the staff is there, and which of the staff members are there in the building?
Our board operators are there every day. Board operator appears at 8 a.m. And we have those operators, which is two people, until, let's see, 7 p.m. I'm there in general from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day. Annette Carson is generally there also every day from 10 a to later on in the evening, depending upon the load. So in terms of staff, there are usually about 4 to 5 people present during the day. During the evenings, only the programmers are at the station with no guests. They may have some co-hosts, but in general, we still isolated the station to just the programmers themselves. So that's pretty much the attendance breakdown on a daily basis at the station.
Okay. And so during the time that Annette is there, we have just finished this fund drive. Is that when items are being put together to be sent out, and does the station need help with that?
Yes, that is when we package items and do all of the outreach to donors and take in all of the calls. We get calls on an hourly basis almost from people who have pledged and are looking for their gifts, or they are looking to pledge when we're not even in pledge drive. So Annette is always active at the station dealing with finances and pledge drive materials. And in doing mailings, we have not done any mailings recently because we've not had the items to send out. And as soon as we get those items, I would appreciate, we will be in touch with you, because I've already explained to her that you've offered your services in helping us with the mailing. And when we get the items that we are set to deliver, we'll give you a call first.
All right. Thank you.
Anita.
Yes. Just to piggyback on what Minerva was saying and elaborating a little bit, there are many of us who are board members who may not be considered the public per se, that have expertise that might be able to lend a hand to you during the day. Many are retired or many have days off that we could probably come in and roll our sleeves up and assist you in many capacities. And I think that when you say that you're down 30% of staff, you should think about maybe enlisting some board members to come in during their retired hours, giving them something to do, or, you know, ask if anyone has any available hours to give you some assistance in mailings, answering the phones, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a thought, just a thought.
And the timing is excellent, actually. This is the perfect time for that. And, you know, I'll be candid and frank and say, we've all been somewhat paranoid with what's been going on with the pandemic. And we might have been overreacting, but who's to say? You know, you go to certain venues and there are people with no masks whatsoever. And then you go to other venues and people are completely masked and safe. So pre-pandemic, we would have all manner of board members at the station helping us out. And I appreciate, I very, very much appreciate the offer and take it very seriously. We need the help. I have to measure it because the people will push back a little bit. There'll be certain people who will push back. They want to stay safe. But we have to measure it and say, you know, we have to find a compromise position where we're still safe, but we're getting the help that we need because we do need the help right now. I need all the help that I can get.
Thank you.
So Anita, thank you.
Mr. Bruce.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Jerry, just want to remind you that WPFW has an association with the Black Coalition for COVID-19. That group has several doctors who wrote the policy on return to work situations. So I believe Joni Eisenberg is a member of the Black Coalition for COVID-19. If you need, you know, some expert help in setting up a back to work system, or whether you should even go back with people in the office, I know you're busy with something, so I just want to put that as a reminder to you, that statement there. And also, just want to know, you think you had some problems with some of the equipment and throwing the switch when you went to a low power situation. Is there anything that you need equipment-wise that would have made the situation better?
Oh, thank you for the offer, but no. It was a software failure we were supposed to have the capability of remotely throwing a switch, and that didn't happen. So I had to physically go and throw the switch myself. And it's not going from power. It's not a power switch. It's switching sources. But thank you again. Right. I appreciate the offer for the help.
All right. And just to remember that Black Coalition for COVID-19 has a relationship with WPFW. So.
And directly with Joni Eisenberg, I will be reaching out to Joni tomorrow morning on this, and by the way, because I am in communication with Joni all the time, and if she's a direct liaison with Black Coalition, I will talk to her in the morning.
Thanks, Wayne, and I believe Ambrose Lane may be part of that group as well.
Yes, he is.
Yes, but he's now on board as an active programmer as well, Jerry.
Okay, I'll be reaching out to both of them in the morning.
Okay, thank you.
Immediately.
Okay, just so I got Bill, Eileen, Sarah, and Art lined up. Bill Curtis.
Hey, good evening. So I'm going to say thanks for keeping the station on the air when you had that problem. I have a question about PFW being able to assist the other stations. It sounds like that's a protocol with Pacifica, where if one signal cannot meet payroll, then no station gets its payroll paid. How does that work? What's that process that PFW can assist if we're having financial challenges of our own?
Okay, we're all Pacifica Holdings.
Gotcha.
And in order for Pacifica to process payroll, it's done monolithically through a vendor. And if one unit is not able to meet their payroll, then payroll as a whole throughout the foundation is stopped. If another unit has a bit of a windfall or has some revenue in the bank beyond their obligation, in the past, signal areas have helped other signal areas to meet their payroll. It's a standard procedure, kind of like an ebb and flow, if you will. And we're supposed to be, you know, a family of radio stations, and that's where it actually is tangible. So that's what WPFW did in this incident. We offered to assist if that's what was required to make the monolithic payroll happen. And it was good that we offered, but the offer was not necessary because Pacifica made payroll. We made our commitment, and I'm not sure what the status is of the other units. I don't have the full report of all the units, but if we made payroll, it means all the units made payroll. So the family worked. That's how it basically works.
Thank you. Just let me add quickly, Jerry, about how often does this sort of game of chicken occur with the payroll throughout the foundation?
I will say too often.
several times a year.
In my experience with Pacifica, I've seen it occur at least once annually.
Okay.
Where signal areas have to help. So it's it's been going on for many, many years. It's a standard procedure in Pacifica for units, not just signal areas, but units to work together and help each other.
Okay.
And then cause some animosity in some cases, because there's been some dependency on that aid. We have to be careful that we don't become dependent, which is why it was good that locally we were able to fund our payroll and not be in a position where we were asking for help. It doesn't mean that we met all of our commitments, but payroll is of the highest priority, along with health care.
Okay, thank you. Eileen. Muted.
Sorry. Did you want to mention the poll, or should we leave that for another time?
Why don't you mention that now?
We were talking about if people would like to meet in person. It could be at the station, or it could be somewhere else, like a library, any place that has a facility that's large enough for us to not be on top of each other, obviously, and wear a mask and observe social distancing. We probably couldn't get it together for December, but perhaps for January even. We had sent out a poll.
What was the result?
Well, so far I've only got 9 responses. And 6 are for and 3 are against. So I was just looking for where I can send out a reminder email. I couldn't find it well in the meeting, but I will. So think
okay,
about
let me
it.
Ask everyone, okay, yeah. Let me ask everyone, if you've seen that poll and haven't responded, please complete that poll so we can get a sense of the body, how many people would be willing to meet in person. And part of this exploration will be to find out if we think the station can be a viable site for such a meeting by January. Okay. Sarah.
Chair?
Yes. I've got people in lined up, Vanessa.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't raise my hand with this thing, so I'll just put myself in the stack, please.
Okay, you're after Art Highland. Yeah, Sarah.
Hi, Jerry. How you doing tonight? Is he still there?
Yeah, he's there.
Yes, I am. I had to unmute. Hey, Sarah.
Okay, pretty good. Is there a power outage SOP, a standing SOP that everybody could follow in case you're sick or something like that?
No, there isn't.
There is not.
Because there should be. There should be. There absolutely should be, but there is not.
Okay. And another thing, just to give me an idea.
SOP.
I'm sorry.
Notification. There isn't even an SOP for notification. I object to how Pepco cut the power to the whole city block on short notification. I don't even know how that was allowed to happen.
What kind of power consumption are we talking about for that office? Because it's basically just the K Street area, I assume, was the cut.
Yes, just the K Street area, but the whole block.
Okay.
So,
well, how much power do we use, and what are we talking about as far as a backup, a possibility of a backup system, UPS?
A small UPS would do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a small UPS would actually do, and we have UPSs. But not enough for life support systems, right? You know, when you lose power, you lose everything.
Yeah.
You know, so HVAC is a consideration.
Yeah.
So in terms of power consideration, power consumption, we'd have to do an analysis to see what is absolutely needed in terms of life support and stuff like that.
Okay. Could you pull together
an SOP?
Yeah, could you pull together a quick estimate of sans the HVAC? Okay, let's just say that just for lights and being on the air, what that power consumption would be. I'd be very curious to know what we're talking about. It doesn't sound like it's a lot.
Not a lot at all. But yeah. I can pull that for you.
Okay,
Doki.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
The main thing is that we should have a SOP for a power down.
Okay. Go ahead, Art.
Jerry, is it safe to assume because of the difficulties in making payroll at times or the challenges that brings to you that some other bills aren't getting paid? And I refer specifically to the EMMA email system. One, I logged in there last week to try to use it to work on a draft for my newsletter that we want to get out again, as well as to do some other marketing for the town hall. But there's an outstanding balance, and it wouldn't let me into the system until that balance seems to be paid. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention and ask if that was going to be resolved sometime soon.
Yes, and thank you for making me aware of that, because I believe we lost that service not because of any WPSW non-payment, but the wider lack of payment in the Pacifica loop. So I'll find out what's going on with those services and see if there's anything that we can do. There are services that we have discontinued locally, and that came up between a little dialogue between Kamal and myself earlier, because we've been asked for our Nielsen reports. We had been paying Radio Research Consortium for that data, but that subscription was kind of expensive, and we opted out or defaulted out temporarily because we have other methods getting that data. So we have some services that we opted out on, but Emma was not one of them. I'll have to talk to the national office and find out what's going on there.
Thank you.
Okay, Vanessa.
Okay, I'm sorry. So I was going to ask about the poll, if it's possible to just at some point tonight during the meeting, I know it's not on the agenda, but if we can just take the poll, if we could go through the rolls, and people could say whether they want to have in-person meetings or not. I would suggest putting it in the chat, but I myself cannot put anything in the chat because I've called in. So anyway, it was just suggesting that it's maybe a way to get the poll done and over with.
Okay, we'll see about doing that later on.
Can I I think we can run polls right from inside the Zoom, so I'll try to figure it out.
But can people do it on the phone? Can people do it on the phone?
No, but I guess we can ask them what their answer is. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Check it out. Any other questions for the general manager? I do have one question, Jerry, and that is where we stand with HD. It's been 90 days.
All right.
Very good question.
Do it tomorrow.
For anyone who happens to have an HD capable radio, you will notice the display on WPFW's channel has changed. There will be, you will see a display that says HD1 because we have turned on the transmitter for that channel, but we're not yet feeding it. So we're getting there. We're very, very close. HD1 had said, and I reiterated this to my chief engineer, who's in Houston, that my deadline was November 10th, and here we are at the 9th, and it's not on yet. When he comes back from Houston, which will be next week, HD1 will be active.
Once it's active, if I turn on to WPFW HD1, what will I hear?
The same thing that you would hear on the analog side. That is the way that HD radio works. The way that the system is designed for every radio station that uses HD, HD1 is a copy of their analog FM signal designed to show off the improved quality of the HD signal. So you hear the same thing that you've always heard, but it'll sound a little bit better.
Okay, because
I know when you turn on HD 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, because I know you had mentioned that the possibility of monetizing the HD channels. Now, does that work for HD 1 as well, or does that have to be the alternate program channels? And if so, is there a plan for programming those channels?
There is some planning. We still got tons of work to do for the other channels. And that is where the money lies. The money doesn't lie with HD1, again, because it's just a copy of our analog station, analog signal. 2, 3, and 4 will be specialized.
There's no windfall from HD1, channels. Correct? So no windfall from HD1. So no windfall possibility from HD1, correct? Okay. All right.
Correct.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Share the message of the staff.
Okay.
Kathleen? Yes, I've got questions on this reserved for the executive session. Thank you.
All right. Vanessa?
Okay. I don't know. Maybe my question or comment should be reserved for executive session, but you'll let me know if it should be. So, Jerry, congratulations. After 6 2 years of working on HD, finally get it up and going. That's an accomplishment. And then there are the next steps that Dennis just mentioned in terms of the programming. So I want to know, now that it's sort of kind of almost up, is it relevant anymore? Are there other platforms that are really more appropriate? Is HD Now not outdated?
Very good question. There's discussion on both sides of that argument. But in our market, if you took a quick look at the radio market here, you'll find that the DMV is completely illuminated. HD is all over the place with the commercial stations competing, you know, very heavily in the HD realm. I've not done any market research, market studies to see how they're performing. But the HD channels become the lead in to streams that can be monetized beyond our regular website. So that we're looking at them as being stream sources on top of being additional signals that are out there. And there's a certain advantage of having streams that have a radio front end in front of it, where you can over the air direct people to the stream, direct people to the website. Certain market advantage that most people don't have.
I look forward to seeing that happen if it can.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. That's thank you.
The idea.
I'm Kathleen, is it your hand from last time?
I'm sorry, I should lower it. All my questions are reserved for executive.
Okay. I'm assuming we do not have a program director report. Katia is not here. Jerry, do you know, is she officially back? And if not, do you know when she might be?
That's on her. Actually, at this time, she was not, well, we'll have to wait to hear from Katia.
Okay. All right.
May I make a comment? May I make a comment, please? This is Kathleen.
I've got some hands up.
Okay. I'll wait then.
Okay. Bill.
Hey, Jerry. Quick yes, question sir. About the HD side. Months back, you mentioned that through HD, PFW could monetize. Am I hearing correctly that that's not the case, that it, HD is simply a mirror of 89.3? Or does HD expand so that it could become a fundraising engine of sorts?
The idea is for it to expand and become that fundraising engine. We are a nonprofit and a community radio station, and therefore we cannot bring in ad revenue over the air per FCC regulation. However, on the internet streaming, we can stream the HDs over the air, direct traffic to those streams and realize ad revenue from those streams by way of, we're thinking that we'll be able to do perhaps Google Analytics, maybe banner ads, clickable ads. I have reached out to local businesses to get a feel for if they would be willing to do so. And there's a certain amount of willingness to participate. There's a certain amount of anxiety. You know, for instance, as I mentioned earlier, we did Roach Brown, the broadcast at Ben's Chili Bowl. A return that we had not been doing for years now because of COVID, we went back. They would be a candidate for that type of streaming ad. And it's, once set up, it's relatively passive income. But that's where the market is going these days. We're competing with appliances, and the appliances that you see in people's hands these days are not radios. They are streaming devices. They're smartphones. We need to go where the people are and monetize that.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I just make a quick suggestion?
Go ahead.
Within the context that we're talking about, Jerry, it seems people have offered to help. I'd like to see what the station looks like. I'm one of the newbies to this board. See what the station looks like so you can see what one is attempting to represent. I would suggest that the help that people are offering, you know, the suggestion that is, some kind of way, you know, we need to figure out how to apply that help to help solve some of the identified problems that people keep talking about. So I'm just offering that up, you know, in the context of solutions. There's a lot of problems at PFW that I'm not privy to those conversations. I just show up at the board meetings and hear people say what they say. But there needs to be kind of rally around the flag of solutions to these various problems. So I'm just offering that, you know, it's COVID. I went to a play last week somewhere in Baltimore. You're required to wear a mask. You know, we're all in and out of environments. But personally, I would like to see what I'm representing. And personally, I wouldn't mind having a meeting where I can see the people who are in this void. You know, face to face, feel their energy, see what's, as the kids say, see what's up with them, you know, in person.
Okay.
I could be walking down the street and walk right by many of these names on this board. And I don't like Zoom personally, but I'm not hiding behind the keyboard. I could be multitasking, kind of made a commitment to be present, you know, visually. So if someone is walking down the street and they walk by me, at least they'll be able to say, can I finish my thought? They'll be able to say, hey, Bill, how you doing? At least that minimum is offering that up in terms of.
Okay, Bill, I'm sorry. I was interrupting because I had lost track of the voice. I wanted to make sure it was Bill that was speaking. I'm going to throw out an open invitation for you to come to the station anytime.
Unmute. I'm unmuted. Thank you. I will take you up on that.
Okay.
Anytime. Give me a call.
Minerva, Kathleen, and then I'm going to move on.
Okay, and Jerry,
if you still want back in, you can too.
Yeah, Jerry.
Go ahead, Minerva.
Since Katia is not able to be at the station, or whatever's going on with her, who is covering what she would normally be doing there at the station? Who's addressing that?
Everybody is. I mean, myself, I'm doing as much as I possibly can. Annette is filling in. Mike Nocella is doing what he can. It's a team. It's very much a team effort. There's nobody, you know, assigned as, you know, temporary interim program director, because we're expecting her return.
Okay. So in essence, when someone's out, Annette, anyone else, everyone that can is beginning to try to work together to keep going, whatever needs to be done at the station is what I'm hearing you say. And my last question or comment is there a way that you can share with us, meaning the members of the board, some type write-up or some type information on this HD and what the vision is for the station, so that each meeting we don't keep asking you to go back through and tell us, and also with a timeline, an idea of how long it's going to take. If you're saying there's equipment needed, what's the idea, the cost for these this equipment to make it happen, and what is expected to be gained by having it? I think that would help us more than you just giving us a message about HD, if there's some kind of write-up somewhere or proposal, so we can see what's taking place and follow it along with you, or see if there's ways that there can be some assistance in given to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Minerva. Okay, Kathleen.
And I've got that.
Thank you. Just a couple comments, and that is not for Jerry to respond to. Number one, underwriting has been available for years and years and years with public radio stations. I sent a bunch of materials to the PNB, who's apparently struggling with this issue. Katia was pursuing some of this before she went on medical leave, which the LSB board should be aware of. Katia is on medical leave. Thank you. So number one, HD is not necessary in any way, shape, or form to do underwriting with businesses. Secondly, the infrastructure challenges for WPFW prevents it from doing any kind of fundraising, whether it's HD channels, which don't exist at this point, or anything else. We don't have an adequate CRM. We don't have an adequate digital presence. I don't want a response from Jerry. I'm just stating what the facts are, and people have read this in the English Hudson report. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to now move on to the Finance Committee report so we can try and get that in before community comment. Mr. Harris.
Thank you, Dennis. Good evening, board members. We did have a Finance Committee meeting on Monday, this past Monday evening, 7 p.m. We did conduct that finance meeting via Zoom. We had a report out. I'm not sure if everyone received it yet. But let me just preface it before I go through the report that I've been working in finance in some form or capacity, accounting, finance analyst work for about 30 plus years. And I probably never worked in an environment as such that as someone who's essentially got some financial responsibility does not have access to the actual information that would support the financial reporting. So I give you this report with absolutely no insight or line of sight on the information. All right. So I'm just going to preface that as I go through it. We did an introduction of myself as the interim treasurer. We had an update from the general manager on the current finances of the station. And then our last bullet point there, we had some next steps on how to achieve some transparency through the financial committee. The following data points were issued. Cash on hand as of 10/31 was $107,284. The outstanding accounts payable as of 10/31 was $106,628. At that time, I heard Jerry give an updated number here in his presentation, but at the time of our meeting, it was stated that the pledge drive collections were $269,000, flat number there. So Jerry gave a percentage, but I guess he may be able to convert that into a dollar figure for us as well. Other anecdotal information presented at that time. As Jerry mentioned earlier, there was an issue with the potential shortfall with payroll and the offer that he made for WPFW to contribute and help out with that shortfall. Apparently, the staff and Jerry are reaching out to major donors, those giving $250 or more to try and raise money in between pledge drives. He's working on the advice of the consulting firm. And I apologize, I did not put that in the report. It's English Hudson, I believe, is what he was alluding to at the meeting. that the station will change fundraising techniques to try and bring in more revenue. There are some staffing concerns. The general manager is considering soliciting help from programmers to mitigate the shortfall in man hours. And there's also a campaign being developed around Giving Tuesday in order to raise funds as well. In conclusion of that meeting, and I'll just read my statement here, is the intent going forward that the LSB treasurer, along with the WPFW general manager, our county clerk, the Pacifica Foundation national business manager, and the executive director, to put in place a system of financial reporting that is timely, verifiable, and informative in a way to allow for the WPFW LSB to perform their critical duty of organizational oversight. So that's our next steps as a committee, to try and make sure we put that together to give everybody comfort in and around what the financial committee knows and can report with all confidentiality considered. So if Jerry would like to buttress that with anything additional, he can. If not, then that's our report from the finance committee.
Yeah, I see it, Kathleen. First, I want to ask a question, Jerry, based on what Kamau is just saying. Now, I understand that the way there's this sort of a feedback loop that a lot of the information that this board has traditionally seen is information that's come back from the national level, whether it's NEDA or now Markeisha or whatever. But that information is generated locally. We collect it here. And I want to know, is there any reason that through the person of the treasurer, but is there any reason that we should not be, in your mind, that we should not have access to that information? Without that information, we cannot do our job. If we're not going to have access to basic financial information, there's no need for a board. So I just want to know, from your perspective, what is the justification for not sharing that information up front?
For security purposes, I believe that the information should be truncated.
Okay.
Get the term used in intelligence, but there's a lot of information that we can give you that is not sensitive. So
where is it?
The interest of full transparency, in my view, which is not shared by some others, you guys should have full access to all of that information. It has not been the policy of Pacifica to do so. Other units do not have the capability that you're asking for.
Other units don't, and some units do. And if you are in charge of the local staff and that information is available locally, I want to know why that can't be shared in at an appropriate level, with at least those with a need to know.
I agree that it should be shared at an appropriate
level. Well, if you agree with it, then let's have it.
I totally agree.
Then why don't we have it?
We will make it so. Just because of the workload. Right now it's a workload issue. Mm-hmm. And we used the national office preparing those reports. We have to add that workload.
Okay. Well, just whatever is pulled together to give to the national office, just share with the appropriate persons locally. That's all I'm saying. If you believe that's something that should happen, it's up to you to make it happen. Kathleen.
Yeah, and I can act as a filter.
So I just want to state for informationally for folks to understand kind of the on-the-ground process that involves Annette, who scans everything into her computer and sends it up to, used to be Netta. Both Julie and Nick have confirmed that this is the process, and I can send everyone emails if they would like to see it. And I'm assuming that Annette has continued this process with Marquisa since we no longer have Netta, and apparently all of our data that's been sent to Annette is not available. But what I would say to you is all of this information is on Annette's computer, period, end of discussion. There's absolutely no reason why Kamau cannot have access to Annette's computer and see exactly what we need to see in terms of the information that has been that's sent up to now Marquisa. That's how it works. That's where the information is. And it's just really unbelievable that this is being blocked for Kamau. There's no security, there's no intelligence, there's absolutely no reason for Kamau to, and the chair to know what the expenses are. And I'll have more comments in the executive session about the secrecy around, you know, money being given to consultants in particular. Thank you.
Please shut up.
Anita.
Thank you. I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Okay, I got you.
I couldn't get off. Is there a list of people who serve on the finance committee?
Yes.
Is it just a one man committee?
No, it's a committee.
I don't know who serves on the finance committee. That would be very interesting to know who's on the finance committee and who is
right there to help you.
Minerva.
Sorry.
Minerva, please mute.
Thank you. Sorry.
Did you say Vanessa?
No, I said Minerva.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And not only in curiosity, for the sake of being open and knowledgeable, I don't have a list of everyone who serves on any particular committee as an LSB board member. That would be very interesting to know who's serving on what committee first mm-hmm. and foremost. And it would be interesting to see who serves on this finance committee. The other thing is when we ask for financial information, surely there's somewhere some checks and balances at SOP as to what reports should be given and what should be contained in those reports. And I think that we mm-hmm. should stick with that and be able to have access to those type of reports as an LSB, as a board. So if there is a easy way to, if there's an existing SOP, we need to see that. And if there is an existing, board, list, committee list of this finance committee, we should see that. And we should also see what information should or should not be contained in these financial reports. I'm just saying.
Okay, thank you. I don't know about the second part, the list of information. I'll leave that to Kamau. But Kamau, I also want to ask you if you can write up a list of the folks on the committee to share with the board.
Yeah, I thought Ellen actually had that. We established the committees in the beginning of the year. I think we could probably have that sent out rather easily, I would think.
Yeah, I think we did do that earlier in the year, but since it's coming up right now, I just want to know for that committee in particular.
Absolutely, I'll send it out.
Okay. Yao.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
In the report I heard about the Giving Tuesday, I just want to know a little bit more about that idea. If it could be expanded for me, please. Thank you.
I'll have to defer to Jerry on that. That was his statement that he was making preparations in and around Giving Tuesday.
Oh, wow. Okay, thanks. I guess not. I understand with the idea about the
things. I think Jerry is there, so he can answer that. That
I'm here. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So what is the question? What is the question specifically?
The idea about Giving Tuesday, if I could, one can expand more on that idea. This is the first time I've been hearing about it.
Okay. Giving Tuesday is an annual event. It occurs on November the 29th. It's something that kind of follows, I guess, you know, things like Black Friday. It's a concept where nonprofits reach out to donors and collectively make a very large ask. So it would behoove the station to be part of that collective ask. It's almost like a national holiday event. So looking to take part in Giving Tuesday and asking for any help that y'all might help in that campaign.
Okay, thank you very much.
I put the website in the chat for anybody who wants to look it up. Giving Tuesday.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Vanessa, you were on the stack, correct?
I did actually sit on the stack. I'm going to withdraw that, but thank you so much.
Okay. Okay, we got a list of folks. We'll see what we get to by 8 o'clock. Sarah and then McLeod, and we'll take it from there. And then I see Tatum and Ellen.
So is it my turn?
Yes, go ahead, Sarah.
Okay. All right. I guess I'll address this to the chair. To me, the treasurer has always been the representative who has my fiduciary on the board, who's going to actually have the sensitive information. That's where the security aspect comes in, and yes, is the person who's going to alert me if there's something substantial I need to know about and bring it to my attention. So for me, not to have that information and not to have the person I'm expecting to have that information not know it is alarming. It's actually pretty substantially alarming. And that means that technically I should start to look for that information, which I don't want to do. I do not want to do for security reasons. I don't want 18 people knowing the sausage making of money flowing here and there, because they could get the wrong impressions. And a treasurer has the training to understand that trends are come and go and that sort of thing. They know how money moves. I don't. So I could draw very bad conclusions. That's why I need my treasurer to have all the information he needs to do the work. And when I say, and Kamau should get anything he needs to do the job as far as I'm concerned. Sorry if I'm getting emotional, but that's the way I feel about it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Mr. McLeod.
I just want to say that I totally agree with Sarah Brown, and this is partially what I was going to say. But I don't have to repeat it since she said it. But I'm going to say this. I'm also feeling that Kamau should get the same treatment or better treatment than Nick Arena got. Nick Arena was very close and impersonal with all of the finance procedures and processes that Kamau has not been accessing. So I think Jerry, and probably you, Mr. Chairman, should make sure that Kamau, as our treasurer, get that same respect or more respect than what Nick Arena was getting. And secondly, I just want to address what Irene was talking about earlier. During my tenure as chairman, we had voted on about having the list of all of the committee members. Everybody on the committee that turns in a report is supposed to have the list of what they're supposed to tell, what the purpose is, what their status is, what they're doing, and what their future is of whatever it is that they're doing. All of that should be on every committee's report. And we voted on that and it passed, but it's up to the chairman here to uphold that if he decides to uphold it, because I'm not the chairman anymore. So I can't say anything too much about that, but it was passed. And if you go back, I can send the chairman that information where we did vote on that, and for the committee to make sure that they sent in, when they sent in their reports, they were supposed to have all that stuff listed so that every committee member would know what the purpose of the committee was, know who was on the committee, what they are doing, what their status is, what their mission is, and et cetera, et cetera. It was all done, but it somehow it's drifted away. So it's up to the chairman to now either reinstate it or let it go. That's it.
I agree. Yes, we do need a reset on those the committee protocols. I agree with those, and that is something that I agree should be taken care of. Thank you, Arthur. Mr.